Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Plena, bailala,
corazón de América, corazón solidario son. Escucha mi plena,
ahí,
casi un milongo,
sabroso,
corazón de América, corazón solidario son.
Busca a tus hermanos, borrando el color, indio de la puna.
Good morning. It's 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning and you're tuned to Community Radio 3CR, as you know, on this International Day of People with Disability. 10:30 a.m. is time for Latin American Update, the program of the Australia-Cuba Friendship Society here in Melbourne. My name's Marie DeLaura, and dexterously and generously managing the panel is Bill McLaughlin. It's a great privilege for us to be part of this special day of programming to celebrate the International Day of People with Disability. And as you know, 3CR is programming all day till 7 p.m. To celebrate this International Day. And we've got some news on disability rights for different parts of Latin America. And we're also going to interview a Chilean-Australian woman who has recently visited Chile. She's been living in Australia for a long time. We're going to ask her about conditions for people with disability in that country. First, we have some very interesting news from Ecuador, and it's Ecuador's a very fascinating case. You'll remember that Julian Assange has taken refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, and the Ecuadorian government has had the courage to allow him to stay for several years there. And over the last 10 years, things have changed dramatically for people with disability in Ecuador. 10 years ago, they would often be confined to their family homes, hidden from society. If anyone ventured out in a wheelchair, for example, they'd have to roll next to cars in order to move around. And many were unable to find work and would beg at traffic lights. But things started to change in 2007 when a man who had become paraplegic was elected to the position of vice president of Ecuador, Lenin Moreno. He became vice president after running for elections as running mate to Rafael Correa. And Lenin Moreno had become a paraplegic after being shot in the back in 1998 during a robbery, and he really set out to make a difference for people with disability. Since taking office, he's implemented a program famous around Latin America called Ecuador Without Barriers, and it's turned the rights of people with disability into government policy. And through this program, the government of Ecuador has launch projects to research the causes and numbers of disabilities across the country, and teams of Ecuadorian doctors, and they collaborated with Cuban doctors who had gone to Ecuador to support their healthcare. So teams of Cubans and Ecuadorians visited every village in Ecuador to establish how many people lived with a disability and what help they needed. And the government recognised that approximately 250,000 people have a disability, which is just over 2% of the population of Ecuador, and they sent out technical assistance to those people, including such things as free wheelchairs, as well as health and housing support, depending what the disability was. Moreover, starting in 2010, it became compulsory for companies with over 25 employees to fill at least 4% of their positions with people with disabilities. And several businesses initially complained that this quota would not be easy to comply with. And some companies were fined for not meeting the 4% quota, and there's still concern among some businesses because there are businesses that don't comply. And Paula Cueva, who she was interviewed in a BBC program, she's manager of a furniture shop. She explained that it was hard to find a good fit in a factory where manual work can be really tough, but she still strongly supports this regulation. And she went on to say, it's been an enriching experience. The people have all been very hardworking and responsible, and if the law didn't exist, companies would never have hired people with disabilities in such a massive way. And Mr. Moreno himself told the BBC that the law's greatest achievement was to give visibility to a part of society that had previously been isolated. Visibility means being able to say, I'm a human being. There are things I cannot do because I have a disability, but I remain a human being. And he went on to say, now people with disabilities can be proud when they go out into the streets. And interestingly, Lenin Moreno, and as I said, he was shot in a robbery, since then he has been confined to a wheelchair, so since 1998. And for his advocacy for people with disabilities, he was nominated for the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize. He didn't win, but on the 24th of May 2017, this year, he was elected president of Ecuador, and now he is the world's only head of state who uses a wheelchair. So I think that that is one strong project inside Ecuador that has really supported people living with disability.
Mental illness has a bit of a hard gig, I think, in all forms, and I think that I suppose it's about saying accepting difference and accepting different behaviour and accepting difference in other people. I suppose within the disability sector, is there a hierarchy of disability? I don't know. Are there judgmental attitudes in the disability sector itself? I don't know, but I just know that mental illness, because it's an invisible disability, because you can't see the broken brain that produces the behaviour that we show sometimes, because it's an invisible illness and an invisible disability, it's hard for people to accept that we have an illness and that we have a disability. So even within the own sector, it's about people accepting us for who we are. And generally speaking, society doesn't deal with difference at all well. How do we break down those barriers and say to a wider society, it's about accepting difference in all its manifestations. And because I have a mental illness, you know, I have a different difference.
Yes, and we have another bit of news from Brazil, and a university in Brazil has developed a digital school book for Brazilians with a disability. So the Rural University of Rio is working on a project to adapt traditional textbooks for school children who are either vision impaired, hearing impaired, or have a intellectual disability or autism. And the digital book is being developed by researchers at Rio's, as I said, Rural University Special and Inclusive Education Observatory. It's a kind of a research centre. The university set up an interdisciplinary team, including experts in education and technology, to carry out the project. And they're training 200 teachers who work in special education in 8 different municipalities in Rio de Janeiro. And this is in the Baixada Fluminense region, and training all of those teachers in how to use these digital textbooks to support their students. And we're going to play you now a piece of music from an incredible Cuban. I'm referring to Pablo Milanes. He's a much-loved Cuban singer-songwriter. If you ever go to any of his concerts in Cuba, and I went to one in a baseball stadium, everybody knows all the words of his songs. He's just so penetrated the psyche of Cubans. Well, Pablo Milanes has struggled for many years with a chronic bone disease, and he's undergone more than 22 operations on his hip and legs. And he currently uses a wheelchair, but that doesn't stop him performing his inspiring music. He has had to cancel a lot of concerts on and off because of health issues, but he's written some beautiful music. And we're going to listen to one of his most famous songs about Cuba. It's called I Love This Island, Amo Esta Isla. And some of the lyrics of Amo Esta Isla: I love this island, I'm from the Caribbean, I don't want to go to a big continent, they're too crammed full of people. And if you live in the Caribbean, you feel happiness, you're not inhibited, and you get this. I'm translating in Spanish, of course. We've got the sun, the palm trees, and the sun that plays on your skin. So let's listen to the great Pablo Milanes playing for us and singing Amo Esta Isla.
Oh, no son de allí, se fueron de allá, de aquí, y hoy arrastran esa pena de sentirse entre cadenas.
Y es lo que me pasa a mí,
amo esta isla, soy el Caribe, jamás podría pisar tierra firme, porque mi vive, amo esta isla, yo, 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 soy el Caribe, jamás podría pisar tierra firme, amo esta isla, soy el Caribe, jamás podría pisar tierra firme, porque me vive. Amo esta isla, yo, 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 soy el Caribe, jamás podría pisar tierra firme, porque me vive. El que nació en el Caribe, goza de una facultad, al sentir su libertad,
se identifica y la vive,
al cambiar la que lo inhibe, por su mar, por su palmera, una eterna primavera, o un sol que nutre su piel, va sintiendo que no es él,
y pierde hasta su bandera.
Amo esta isla, soy el Caribe, jamás podría pisar tierra firme, porque me vive.
And that was, as we mentioned, the great Pablito Milanés singing Amo esta isla, I love this island. We're going to play a community announcement for you now. The MUA, the Maritime Union of Australia, is really in need of support today, and we've got a community announcement. They're calling for people to support their struggle. So if you just want to listen to this one.
500 men sacked for refusing to ever cross a picket line.
Union busters are back on the docks. This time a company called ICTSI. A worker has been sacked for standing up to the bosses against bullying and harassment. A community assembly has come together to support the dock workers and have started a 24-hour protest. We are holding the line, but we need your help. Get down to 78 Webb Dock Drive, Port Melbourne, and join the community assembly at any time of the day or night. For more information and details, call Workers Solidarity on 0401 516 967.
Together, never cross a picket line. You must never cross a picket line.
Yes, and that's a very up-to-date request from the MUA, 78 Webb Dock Drive. They're looking for any community support they can get down there. So if you've got the time, we'd appreciate your going down there to support them. And we're lucky to have on the line now a Chilean woman who works a lot for 3CR and a tremendous amount in solidarity with the struggles in Latin America, who's just recently returned from Chile. And I'm referring to Marisol Salinas. Are you there, Marisol?
Yes. Hello, Marie. How
Hi.
Are you?
Thanks so much for coming on our show this morning. It's really good of you.
No, thank you for the invitation.
And I know that you very recently returned from Latin America, and we especially wanted to ask you about the situation of people with disability in Chile. If you probably had a chance to make a comparison between the things you see in the community in Victoria and what you saw over there. What was your overall impression?
After so many years being out of Chile, what I saw, there were a few things that really impressed me in regard of the change of the mentality or how the people, the disabled people, you know, they are fighting for their rights. Mm. So when I left the country, I don't remember anything in in the street or in the media talking about people with disabilities.
So they're more visible these days?
I will say that it is. That it is more visible. So, for example, the television. Every time you see a television program, you see in one corner someone doing the translation, you know, for mute.
The deaf community language sign.
Yeah, it's in the one corner, so you will see.
Ah, well, Australia could learn from that. We don't have someone signing Auslan on every TV program in Australia, that's for sure.
So that's something really good, you know. Probably not every show, you know, but in all the national programs or media, they do have that person doing the signs, you know, translation. That is a big improvement from my point of view. Something that we didn't have before. There is, like here in Australia, there is services created by every government in regard of disabilities. I'm not sure if that work, you know, the same like here. So there is a service, there is one part of the government, they put some funding towards so people can access, you know, probably to go to school and things like that. But in practice, I'm not sure if that is working in Chile for disabled people. But yes, there is a law in Chile that was approved in February 2010. That was the law 20,422, who is more clear about, you know, people with disabilities, you know, what they can do if they have a disability, how they can be part of this benefit, you know, that the government, I will say the Chilean state, provide, because it's something that no matter who is in power, that law will still be there. So the, every different president can probably do some changes to improve or to take some of the rights they have at the moment, but that law will be there. And but as I said, I'm not sure if this really is helping disabled people. The other thing is that I thought, you know, different than Australia was that just in the main city, you can find, I don't know how you said in English, those some traffic lights, you know, with the with the sound for blind people and deaf. So, you know, not many really. So there is a strong campaign, but this is autonomous people who are recording themselves. And, you know, I was having this conversation yesterday with a friend. I said, I'm going to have an interview, you know, about a topic that, in you know, it has been always my interest, but it's not the area that I've been always campaigning, you know. And my friend said, what do you want to say? And I said, you know, I'm going to talk about, you know, what I experienced when I was in Chile. And, you know, and I mentioned, you know, the videos, you know, that people is doing. And going into, for example, they said, okay, let's go to the cinema, and they decide to go to certain street. If we use an example here, let's see, I go from North Fitzroy down Nicholson Street to Albion Street. But in Albion, there is no way that I can cross the road because there is nothing, you know, in that corner for disabled people, so people cannot cross the road unless they ask someone to help them. You know, because it's impossible for them to get down
the
to the
curb.
Street because there is no, I don't know how you say it in English, the rampa, you know.
There's no ramp. The curb is too high for them.
That's correct. So that is in, I would say, in most of the street in Santiago, and I can imagine that if in Santiago that's not ready for disabled, I can imagine that in other cities in the country, probably the situation could be worse.
Well, that's true for a lot of Australian buildings and streets as well, but there has been improvement in that area. Ramps have appeared in lots of big city buildings.
Yeah, but the funny part is what I said, you know, the people record themselves, you know, so they go and, there is no ramp here. So now that everyone has those, you know, the mobile phone, so they record themselves talking, you know, saying, I'm here in the corner, Nicholson Street, and this, and I'm trying to, you know, as a disabled person, I'm trying to cross the road and I cannot cross the road. And they show the street, you know, the floor that there is no ramp.
Yeah.
And they, you know, put the, like they call it here, selfie. And in that they said, this is not possible. How am I going to cross the road now? Of course, I'm a disabled person. I need help. And you can see when they ask anyone who is walking past, hey, could you please help me to cross the road? And when they cross the other side of the road, they again talk to the public, because this is a recording that they do, but they send it. They put it into a web page that they have, or they send it into YouTube, so for anyone to see it. So, and in the other side of the road, they copy and they say, you see how difficult is life for me as a disabled person.
So that's imagine, a kind of testimony to how the everyday difficulties.
That's correct. And also that, you know, one of the ones that I really like it in the sense that it, you know, open your eyes, because if you are not disabled, you think everything that is in outside and inside when you go to shopping centers or places is okay. But after, when you see this video, you are like, oh, wow, it's not okay. It was one of the recording, you know, one of a couple, two disabled, young. They were trying to go to one place to another, so they decide to stop a taxi. And it was incredible to see the reaction of the taxi driver when he saw, you know, the two disabled with the wheelchair. Mm. He said, sorry, I can't take people like you. That was the comment. People like you. And, you know, the two disabled in the same way, recording themselves, were like, what people like us? What kind of people are we? Oh, because we cannot walk? Why? Why people, you know, why this taxi driver didn't take 5 minutes, you know, to help us to get into the taxi, put our wheelchairs at the back, because it's too much hassle.
He just didn't want to do it.
They prefer not to take people.
Terribly disappointing to come across that.
Very disappointing. So things like that. So the mentality, basically, these are autonomous recording that they are happening.
It's a good way to get people alerted to what's happening, isn't it? Yeah, sort of consciousness raising.
Exactly. And you know, my friend said, but I'm not sure if this is true, she said that there was a comedian, I don't know, you know, those series that people see every day?
Mm-hmm.
And in one of those series...
So the sitcom.
Yeah, they were some actors, you know, they play the role as a disabled.
Oh, yeah.
And they were the one recording themselves in this series, you know, denouncing situations similar. And I think what my friend said, that probably also that inspire people to do that themselves, you know, that is not right.
Read that telenovelas or ongoing serials or sitcoms really influence people's attitudes. So if a person with disability were included and shown to be just the same as everyone else, it would be a big plus for
And I googled the, you know, the series that she told me, you know, trying to make sure that it was real and true.
Mm.
And I could see I'm not sure how long this series goes, probably a year or 6 months, you know. But yes, they did twice in the ministry. They talk about the issues, you know, that these disabled people every day has to face when they want to go places, and, you know, there is no the culture. So the mentality of the people in Chile is not ready for disabled people.
Well, it's a long, slow process. I mean, Australia is improved, but there's a long way to go. People just are heedless and don't think about offering to help somebody or seeing somebody who needs support. And all that government policy has yet to be implemented in Australia properly as well. So, Marisol, we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask you, Auslan, the language of the deaf community in Australia, that's been a VCE subject for the last 20 years, and it's gradually becoming, like, there's an Australian national curriculum in Auslan, so it's really given the same, as it should be, respect as every other language of a community group. But I think you said that you could sign in Chilean sign.
No. Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yes.
Sorry.
Did you said? I think you said that you learned sign language of the deaf
in
Chilean.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes, because one of my auntie.
Mm.
Yes, in my family, we have disabled people, so she was mute and deaf.
Oh, yes.
So, you see, as a natural thing, you learn the basic how to communicate with them. I was very young when I learned how to communicate with her. And,
So you're trilingual, English, Spanish and Chilean sign. That's
yeah, but as I said, it's because in my family we had one auntie who was affected.
Yes.
And the only way we could communicate with her, and believe me, she was the one who made more noise than all my other aunties.
She probably had to get attention.
To get attention. She was the one and she liked to dance. She was a very alive person. So we all of us, all my brothers and sisters and some cousins, and niece and nephews, we all learned, how to communicate with her.
Fantastic.
And also we went to a party. Look, I know you said you don't have much time. We, they organized parties in one of the friends' house. And it was interesting for us because we were the one putting the signs. I'm not sure you have been in a party for mute and deaf people.
No, I haven't.
All right, so they put music like anyone else. You know, they put cumbia, whatever, salsa. But there is a sign. So we were young, little. So we were the one walking around the salon with the sign, saying cumbia. So they knew that the music that was playing now.
Which rhythm it was going to be.
And so they start dancing cumbia, making the movement of cumbia. If it was a rock and roll, we put in the sign rock and roll. So things
great.
Like that. That's how we were part of the
party. To support them. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I know.
And the
that...
last thing to mention,
Marie,
is that part of what I said, the government, they have, like here in Australia, a credential for disabled people. But the only difference, I would say, that from Australia than Chile, that in Chile, part of the credential being disabled, there is some benefit for people to have a special housing.
Yes,
and
that is so important.
It doesn't work here, but they can be the owner of the house. So the government provides some kind of support.
Fantastic.
For people who want to buy their own house.
I was reading that in Ecuador they have done that.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing, So that's a good thing that is happening in Chile.
Okay, well, look, thank you very much for coming on the show, Marisol. We really appreciate your making the effort to talk to us this morning, and very interesting to hear the comparisons between what's going on in Australia for people with disability and what's going on in Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what we'll... we'll be going out in just a moment, but thanks again, Marisol, for being on the program. And we've got a couple of announcements. One is that tomorrow night the Australia-Cuba Friendship Society has its big end-of-year celebration. So if you're interested, we're going to be showing a great film telling the truth about what's really happening in Venezuela rather than all the ugly misinformation that the United States wants to put about. And the very impressive social achievements in Venezuela. That film, I think, should be great. That'll be tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at 110 Gray Street, East Melbourne. That's the Unitarian Church. And, of course, there'll be lovely food and a raffle and so on. Also, coming up next on 3CR is the special Earth Matters show for people with a disability to celebrate International Day of People with Disability. And 3CR is going on celebrating all day. Their show is called Disability Rap this morning. And we're going out with another song from Pablo Milanes. As I mentioned, the great, much-loved Cuban performer. And this one's called A Song to Wake Up a Little Black Girl. Pablo is an Afro-Cuban, and this is for his daughter, Heyday. Let's have a bit of a listen to Song to Wake Up, Son para Despertar a una Negrita. Thank you.